Tonight we ask that you would capture our hearts again, Lord Jesus. Lord, you're in this place. Your presence is thick. And tonight we pray that we would lay aside all the things that are distracting us in this moment, but Lord, that we would focus our attention on you and on you alone. For tonight, you've come to visit with us. And so, Lord, clear our hearts and clear our minds that we might hear from you and you alone, that you might receive every bit of the glory tonight. Lord God, focus us on Christ that we might live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow. God's in this place. And he's always in this place. But there are times when it just seems like we are more attuned to his reality, doesn't it? It's not that he's ever not here as much. It's that we're not paying as much attention sometimes. I'm thankful tonight. God's captured our hearts. He's captured my heart. We got to see a young man who's the father of three, profess his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. I'm going to tell you what, his three boys got to see that. And you know what I told him? They'll never forget that. They will never forget that as long as they live. No matter what they remember about their daddy, they will remember the Wednesday night in May 2009 when their daddy was obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and stepped in that water and professed Jesus Christ to all of you and to us. It's a great night. Pastor Jamie really wanted to be here tonight. He got called in Louisville, and rush hour traffic got him. And so he called me at about 4 o'clock, and he said, "Hey, so yeah," which he had put me on standby this morning, but he said, I'll be back, but just in case. Well, 4 o'clock, yeah, I'm not going to be back. So he really wanted to be here with you all, so we want to pray for him as he travels tonight. He's coming back. He may even be here toward the end of worship, but tonight I wanted to call your attention to a passage of text that has always convicted me and has always caused me to look very deeply at myself and realize just how much of a bonehead I can be. We're going to go to Luke, okay? We're going to Luke. But before we do that, I want to ask you all a question because I am very bad at something, and I need you to tell me you're bad at it too to make me feel better. How many of you, and let's just talk to the men right now, Jeff. We'll just talk to the men. How many of you men are real good about sending thank you notes? Anybody? Okay, thank you. All right, we got one. And his wife raised his hand for him, and so what that tells me is you have a wife like I do. She will pester you until they're done, right? If great wives just do them for the husband, that's free tonight. And I'm bringing my wife the tape tonight so she can listen to it. But I'm horrible at thank you notes. In fact, in August of 2007, my father passed away, and that was really tough, and I was very young. He was very young. He was only 56, but he passed away, and that's not the story. The story is when somebody passes away, especially here in the South, we have some customs. We send things, right? And we send baskets of flowers, and now the custom has, you know, that you get those little statues, you know, little statues, little baby naked angels that are praying in a garden or doing something. I don't know what they're doing, but or the hands, you get the little statue of the hands. And then, of course, y'all know this is another free tip tonight. When somebody experiences the loss of a loved one, fried chicken, it has been scientifically proven, will make them feel better. And so a ton of people sent fried chicken, and I had been on a diet until that point, and that kind of wrecked it all. But I sat down, and the custom, you're supposed to do this, you send the thank you notes, which when I give somebody something, I'm like, here it is, I don't need a thank you note, just enjoy it, and I forget about it. Well, the problem is when I get a gift, sometimes I forget about it. And so after Dad's funeral, I sat down. I really did. My wife was like, you need to fill them out. So I did. I filled them out, and I got all but like one or two done. And I have this personality where if it's not all done, I want them sent in a package. You don't send one at a time. You send them all at the same time. Well, here's what happened. I got all but about two of them done, and I put them in the envelope. I had the envelope addressed. I had everything done, and I put them back in their little thing, and I set it on the kitchen counter, which is my place to do things. And then my wife cleaned the house, and they got set in a closet. Well, here's how I work. If I don't see it, it does not exist anymore. Okay? Like if you call me and you tell me something, I write it down in a post-it note. That post-it note has to stay on my desk for that to exist. If anything covers it up, it's gone. Sorry, it's just gone. So she puts the thank you cards in a closet. 2 months go by. Well, I'm not going to tell you who it is, and I'm not going to tell you how I'm related to this person, but I'm related to somebody who I love deeply. But this person is advanced in years and has a certain way that things are to be done, right? Like after a funeral, people give you stuff, you send them a thank you card. Well, 2 months go by, and I get a call. Now, Jeff, I'm not trying to say anything, but I'm just wondering. You remember when your daddy died and I sent you those flowers and I got you that food? I just wondered, had you sent out your thank you? Because I know you're thankful, but there may be some other people who don't know you're thankful. And so have you sent out your thank you cards? No. I'll do it tonight. I'll do it tonight. It's done. It's done. It's done. I hang up the phone. I get another call. Guess what? Gone. Another month goes by. Same relative. Now, Jeff, I just want you to know you're making yourself look really bad. And so I had to type up a note to include with the original thank you note saying, I am sorry that I really value what you did. They got put in the calls and I forgot. I'm horrible about saying thank you. When I was little, if somebody sent me a card with money in it, which, by the way, I still love. But if somebody sent me a card with money, my mom would stay on me for weeks. Have you called them? 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 Finally, I'd just lie to her and say yes, so she'd quit asking. But I'm horrible about it. Horrible. Well, the story we're going to look at tonight really has to deal with 10 guys that encountered Jesus. And I want to read through the whole story, and then we're going to look at it, okay? It's Luke chapter 17, starting with verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray again. Father, tonight we ask that you would open your word to us. And even more than that, we ask that you would open us to your word. Speak to our hearts that we might see the Lord Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. What's going to happen in Jerusalem? We're toward the end of the Gospel of Luke. Take a wild guess of what's going to happen in Jerusalem. The cross. He's on his way to the cross. Jesus is going to the cross. And as he goes to the cross, he's teaching his disciples. And he comes and he's walking on the border between Galilee and Samaria. Now, let's say this mid-court line right here. I think it's awesome we have a mid-court line in our sanctuary. Isn't that great? But we have a mid-court line. Let's say this is the border and here's Samaria and here's Galilee. Now, most Jews would not walk along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And here's why. They hated the Samaritans. See, the Samaritans were mixed. They were Jews who were taken into captivity, and they messed around with the people who had taken them captive, and so they were not purely Jews. All right? They were mixed. All right? And so the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans had also taken Jewish worship of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they had twisted it just a little bit and kind of created their own system. And so the Samaritans hated the Jews. And so if you were a good Jew, you wouldn't walk along this border. You'd find another way. You'd go as far out of the way of Samaria as you could. Well, Jesus, obviously, even though he's a good Jew, he loved the Samaritans. And so as he traveled on the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was traveling, it says he went into a village and 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, are you familiar with leprosy? Leprosy is kind of an umbrella term in the Bible that is used to describe people who have contagious skin conditions. All right. And what would happen is you would get these white spots on you. And as soon as this white spot appeared, you knew what was coming. And this was kind of like the AIDS of the day. There was no cure. There was no medicine to treat it. There was nothing you could do. And so as soon as you got leprosy, your life was over. And God, listen, God set certain laws for the community, for people who had leprosy. Because here's what God knew. If leprosy is a contagious disease and I have it and I touch you, guess what happens? You get it. And then you touch her, guess what happens? She gets it. And so this is the rule. This is from Leviticus chapter 13. God gave this rule to the people of Israel. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now, the reason they had to do this was because if this disease got into the camp, the whole tribe's dead. And so this is pretty severe. Basically, if you contracted leprosy, your life was over. Your life as you knew it anyway. And so lepers were described as really dead men living. Dead men living. Because they could not interact with anybody. I have a wife and a son. And in these days, if I had contracted leprosy, I had to have no contact with my wife and my son for the rest of my life. I was done. And so Jesus is walking, and these 10 men, they would live in a colony called a leper colony. Because all they had, they already had it, and so they could be around each other. Well, these 10 men, they come and they holler out to Jesus. They know the law. They know that they're unclean. So they stay back at a distance and they cry out to Jesus, "Son of God," or "Master, have mercy on us." And I can imagine their cry. You think about where they are in life. It probably wasn't a, "Hey, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It was probably, "Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They're desperate. Their life is over. They got no hope unless this God does something. And so they're crying out. And I want you to hear the first point tonight. Desperate people cry out to God. Desperate people. You know that because you've been there. When Aaron was pregnant, my wife was pregnant with our son. We have one kid who's a little over a year old now. But when she was pregnant, everything's progressing fine. Everything's going great. And at one of our later doctor visits, they do the ultrasound thing, which still amazes me, by the way, but anyway, I digress. They do the ultrasound thing, and the doctor starts making a funny face. Well, anytime you're with the doctor and he makes a funny face, that can't be good. Well, he started thinking that my baby's abdomen was too small, and this was indicative of other things, and so he's like, "Well, you know, it's normally nothing, but we want to send you down to Nashville just in case." Well, most people would hear, "It's normally nothing, 99% of the time." Well, we had a family member who had the same exact thing said to them. "It's normally nothing." And they went, and it wasn't nothing. And so my wife and I are freaking out. And we have to wait to go down to Nashville. And I'm telling you, I am crying out to God. My mother told me this when I was growing up. I never realized it. But I'd rather anything happen to me than to him. Cancer, I'll take it as long as he doesn't get it. Doesn't matter. Shoot somebody, shoot me, not him. I'm crying out to God, desperate. "God, if something is wrong, please heal my child." Desperate people cry out. And we could all share a story of some time in our life when we've been desperate. Maybe it's something in your marriage or something with a sick family member or friend or some type of a work situation, whatever it is. "God, I'm desperate. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." And so here's what Jesus did. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, it's real easy to just read right through this and say, "Wow, they were 10 lepers. They got cleansed. Great." But put it in the context of a life. Put it in the context of a guy who's had leprosy for 20 or 30 years, who has been restricted from the people he loves the most for 20 or 30 years. He hadn't seen his kids grow up. He hadn't seen his wife grow up or whatever she does. He hadn't seen his family develop. Maybe he's got grandkids now. And for this amount of time, he's been secluded to this colony because he is a dead man living. And now Jesus says to go and show myself to the priest. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go show myself to the priest. at that point, I'm going to do whatever I can. You tell me to jump up and down 5 times, turn in a circle and do 10 push-ups. You got it. Tell me to bark like a dog and I'll be healed. I'll bark like a dog. I'm desperate. I will do anything to have my life restored. This is where these men were. And so Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. And then something unique happens. It says one of them. Now, how many lepers were there? Good, you're listening. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Let me tell you about this guy. We know 2 things about him. He was a leper and he was a Samaritan. And I'm going to tell you, you can't get any lower in the first century than being a Samaritan leper. There is nothing below that. They are on the bottom of the food chain. Not only are they leprous, they're dead men living, but he's a Samaritan. He's unclean. He's unclean to many degrees. You don't get lower than a leper from Samaria. And what does Jesus do? He heals him. And so out of all these 10 men, some of them probably Galilean and others probably Samaritan, he comes back. 10 lepers get cleansed and 1 comes back. And it says he falls on his face before Jesus and he cries out, praising God, and says, thank you. Now, our greatest temptation right now, our greatest temptation is to see ourselves in this man. Isn't it? I mean, Jesus did that for me. I'd come back and say, thank you, my goodness. I mean, my life's been totally changed. I used to have leprosy. Now I can go see my family again. I can be around people. I can share a meal with people again. My life's changed. I'm going to come back. We went to Nashville for this ultrasound. And we go to this place. It was a Baptist hospital. And we go and we wait. And anytime you go to Nashville, you're going to wait, you know, hour, 2, 6, 12, I don't know. But we waited what seemed like eternity. And we get back in there, and this little ultrasound tech comes in, and she's doing the things that I've seen them do 5 or 6 times now, rubbing the junk and all the stuff, and pictures coming up, and she's putting circles on there and taking pictures and all that. Well, she says, well, let me go talk to the doctor, which is always what you want to hear. You'd rather they just say, everything looks great. You can go home. Stop at Olive Garden in Goodlettsville on your way. Enjoy the day. She says, no, let me go talk to the doctor. So the doctor comes in, and they give us the best news ever. No, he's just going to be a little guy. And she looked at me, and she said, which is odd. They said, he's going to be a little guy. I said, so everything looks normal? Yeah, everything looks great. You guys enjoy the day. And so we go back to the car, and I could turn a cartwheel if I could turn a cartwheel. I could turn a cartwheel. Going to the car, and we get in the car, and we're zipping back, and I'm smiling, and my face is hurting because I'm smiling so much, and I'm looking at my wife's belly, and I'm like, wow, this is great. And all of a sudden, halfway home from Nashville, it hit me. I never said thank you. Never one time in 30 minutes after this experience where I had been crying out to God with all that I had, God, please. And all of a sudden, he answers, and I never say thank you. Our greatest temptation is to think, well, yeah, of course I'd say thank you. But I can promise you in this room, every one of us have got some miraculous thing that God has done in our life that we begged him for, and we haven't praised him for it. One came back, and watch what Jesus says. In the presence of this guy who's on his face, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, and it's interesting, this is the only one he said this to. He said, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Hey, Jamie. Jamie's here talking. Thank you. The word here that we translate in the NIV, made you well, literally means saved you. And so this one guy, Because his faith led him back to Jesus to say thank you, guess what happened? He's saved. It wasn't by works. It wasn't Jesus said, well, he came back, boom, boom, sins are forgiven. This guy, the reason he came back was because of his faith. He knew who had cleansed him. He knew who had changed his life forever. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God, who with a word, go show yourself to the priest, had changed his life forever. And so he came back. Why? Because his faith pushed him to do it. And so Jesus looks at him and says, your faith has made you well. Rise, go. I want to take you back to the moment when you bowed your knee before Jesus Christ. And you repented of your sin and you invited Jesus to come into your life. You remember that moment? Maybe you walked an aisle. Maybe, like me, it was in my bedroom because I didn't want to walk the aisle. I just took the information home and did it there. But do you remember what that felt like? You know what it felt like? Because really, I was worse than that Samaritan leper. I said, you don't get lower than a Samaritan leper. I was an arrogant sinner. I was an arrogant sinner who did what I wanted when I wanted. I hurt people right and left. And I was the worst of all because I was a brown-nosing, arrogant sinner and tried to hide my sin and present myself as a righteous man. And I remember that moment bowing in my bedroom. And I remember asking Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, receive me as your son. Adopt me into your family. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. And he did. And it felt like the weight of the world came off of me. Do you remember? Do you remember going into the baptismal waters? Do you remember that feeling of when you went down into the water and you came back up and everything felt so fresh and clean and new? You know why nobody goes back? Because we forget. We forget what Jesus has done. We forget where we were. The other nine guys, it doesn't tell us, but I was imagine that once they were healed, it was like, it's just time to get on with life. And they forgot all about being lepers for however long they were lepers. And they didn't come back. Because I'll contend they didn't realize who had just done that for them. And how many times in my own life have I begged God for things? I begged God to save me, and he did. And I take it for granted. You know why? Because I'll get in my mind, God should have saved me. Whew. That'll send you to hell quick. God shouldn't have saved any of us. And we're going to have an altar tonight. And I want to encourage you to come to this altar just to say thank you. Pastor Keith said something in a staff devotion like 3 years ago that's never left me. He said, if all Jesus had done was forgive us of our sin, that would have been enough. You remember that? If all he had done was to forgive us of our sin, that's enough. And he's done so much more. And how many of you are like me and you just need to come and say thank you? God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Thank you for the life that you've given me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for saving my marriage. Thank you for giving me grace in the midst of great grief. Thank you for all you have done. I just find it interesting that one of the two ordinances that Jesus has given us as a church involves us coming to a table with some bread and some wine. And he says, eat the bread and remember that my body was broken for you. Drink the cup and remember that my blood was spilled for you. And every time you do this in remembrance of me. Why? Because it's so easy to forget. 10 lepers got healed. One came back. Tonight, I think God's given us all an opportunity to make a decision to be the one that came back, to say thank you, Jesus, for all you have done. Tonight, you may not have had that conversion experience yet, and you're still in your sin, and you're like one of those lepers crying out to God, Jesus, have mercy. Well, tonight, I want you to know that He will have mercy. And so if you have never invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, I want to invite you to come. Pastor Jamie's up here. Pastor David will be up here. Pastor Keith will be up here. I'll be up here. And we want to talk with you, because here's what I want you to hear tonight. The only reason the lepers cried out to Jesus like they did is because they knew how bad they were. And tonight, I believe God will show you how bad you are, and that there is only one way for you to be forgiven, and that is through Jesus Christ and giving your life to Him. Maybe some of you, you've been saved, but you need to step into that water tonight like Gary did. You know, Gary, if I can share a second of your story, Gary got saved some time ago, but he hadn't followed through in baptism. And last Wednesday night, he came up and he said, you know what, it's time. Well, maybe for some of you tonight, it's time. And so this altar belongs to God tonight. And I want you to know God's Spirit is in this place. And I can guarantee you, if you'll stand up and get out of your seat and come bow down before Him, He'll meet you here. Will you stand with me? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, right now, only You know our hearts. And only You know all that You have done for us. And only You know how badly and how desperate we were for You. Lord, we don't even know how to begin to say thank You. But tonight I pray that we will. Tonight I pray we'll bow before You like this one leper who came back. And we will praise God. We will thank You for all that You have done and continue to do. Father, I confess in my own life, so many times I'm bitter because I stare at the problems and what I think You haven't done instead of thanking You for what You have. And so tonight, release us in this altar. For those who don't know You yet, who are going to die and go to hell, bring them to this altar that they might have life in Christ. For those who haven't been baptized, Father, bring them to this altar that they might follow in obedience. And for all of us, Father, draw us to this altar just to say thank You. For You are worthy of everything we have. In Jesus' name, this altar is open. Come.